We're going to turn our attention to the book of Galatians again. Turn our attention to God's Word, Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. And if you need a Bible like me, there's a stack of them over here. I forgot to grab mine before. Or look it up on your phone. Galatians 2, beginning at verse 11. Galatians 2, beginning at verse 11. Here Paul writes to the church in Galatia, to us here this morning. He says, "When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, 'You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." So tell me this. Have you ever found yourself standing in a courtroom before a judge charged with a crime? Have you ever found yourself standing in a room before a judge charged with a crime? So far, I've only found myself in this scenario once. Okay, so far, I've only found myself in this scenario once. Right, it was in high school. And the reason I was standing in a courtroom before a judge was because I had committed a crime. My crime was a traffic violation. I had received a ticket for failing to come to a complete stop at a stop sign. The ticket I received required me to appear in court before a judge to receive my punishment, to receive my sentence for my crime. Standing before that judge, guilty as charged, had a profound impact on me, believe it or not. Looking back, I am grateful that it happened. I'm grateful it happened because of what standing before that judge did for me and my understanding of what the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. This experience enabled me and helped me understand in a very powerful way the gospel of Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul is talking about and trying to communicate in the section that we just read in Galatians. And while I don't wish that you have the opportunity to commit a crime and stand guilty before a judge in a court of law, it is my prayer this morning that what Paul talks about today in our text impacts you in a very powerful way. That it impacts your hearts, that it impacts your lives. In our Bible text for today, Paul introduces and he talks about this phrase, justification by faith. And Tim Keller, that great preacher in New York, reminds us in his comments on these verses that justification by faith is central. Is central. It's at the heart of the Christian faith. It is Paul's nutshell summary of the gospel. In 10 words or less, what's the gospel all about? It's about justification by faith, Paul says. Keller says. They both say it, don't they? They both say it. 10 words or less and in 3 words, right? Justification by faith. 3-word summary. But all too often, Keller says, we assume that we have grasped what those 3 words mean and what impact they have on our lives. But if we look closely at our text for today and see that Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, needed to learn more about what those 3 words meant, it is likely that you and I may also need to learn a little bit more about what those are about. So this morning we're going to take some time together and we're going to examine the central theme of the faith, justification by faith. And ask ourselves, do I know what that means for me? Do I know what that means for my life? What does it mean? What does justification mean for you and me? I'm going to look at 3 things. First, it means that though we are sinners, we are not under condemnation. In our text for today, Paul begins by getting in Peter's face. He gets in his face because of what Peter is doing. He gets in his face because of what Peter is believing. And do you know who this Peter guy is? This Peter is one of Jesus' disciples. This is the Peter who walked on water when Jesus invited him out of the boat. It's the one who confessed that, well, you're the Messiah. It's the one who denied Jesus 3 times when the pressure got too great. It's that Peter. That's the Peter here. Peter writes, "When I got to Antioch, I opposed Peter to his face." You have a picture of what that might look like? How that conversation went? Why did Paul oppose Peter? Paul opposed Peter because on account of pressure that he was receiving from certain men from James, Peter was no longer eating with Gentiles. On account of the pressure he was receiving from these men, Peter was starting to draw back and separate himself from Gentiles. Paul's controversy with Peter is about cleanliness and about how we become clean. Jews did not eat with Gentiles because they were ceremonially unclean. God gave his people all kinds of rules and instruction about how they are to remain ceremonially clean. And why? Because in order to worship God, in order to enter his presence, you and I, we need to be clean. In order to be acceptable before God, you had to be clean. In verse 12, Paul reminds Peter about how, not too long ago, he used to eat with Gentiles. And he used to eat with them, Paul says, on account of a vision that Peter received from God. That's recorded for us in Acts 10 and 11. A vision where Peter sees all these animals come down and God says to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And the animals that were before him were both clean and unclean animals. And Peter replied, "Well, surely not. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. I'm not going to do that." Then the voice from heaven God's voice spoke a second time and said this, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Paul reminds Peter of this vision about cleanliness. He reminds Peter that we are made clean in Jesus Christ. We are made clean by what God does for us. And in this context of cleanliness, Paul introduces a new term for us, and it's this term, justified. To be justified is to be acceptable before God. To be acceptable for fellowship with God. Why does Paul switch terms here? The word justified is a legal term that provides us a different perspective on what salvation is all about. What's the opposite of clean? It's dirty. What's the opposite of justified? It's condemned. It's condemned. The opposite of clean is dirty. The opposite of justified is condemned. On account of our sin, we're not just dirty or polluted. On account of our sin, we're all condemned. We're guilty as charged. That day when I was standing in the courtroom before that judge, I wasn't just dirty or unclean. I was condemned. I was guilty as charged. I didn't just need to be ceremonially washed, right? I needed to be acquitted. I needed to be judged not guilty. And the truth of it is, all of us here this morning need to be acquitted. In Romans 3:23, Paul reminds us that all of us here need to be acquitted because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then he goes on to say that all of us are what? Justified. We are all justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Justification means that in Christ, though we are sinners, though we are guilty, we are not under condemnation. God's justification means that He accepts us despite our sin. J.I. Packer, a famous Reformed theologian, says to justify in the Bible means to declare of a man on trial that he is not liable to any penalty, but is entitled to all the privileges due those who have kept the law. Justifying is the act of a judge pronouncing the opposite sentence to condemnation, that of acquittal or legal immunity. The first thing that justified by faith means is that we are acquitted in and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Second thing it means is this. Justification by faith also means that we are not justified by what we do. In verse 16, Paul reminds us that we are not justified by observing the law. He says, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified in faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Then Paul goes on to say this. He says, "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God." What does Paul mean here in verse 19 when he says he died to the law? when we study Paul's other teachings and letters, it's clear that he doesn't mean we're no longer to obey the law of God. Rather, what he means is that in Christ, he has died to the law as a method or a way of being saved. What he means is that in Christ, you and I have died to the law as the method for salvation. He says salvation by trying to keep some laws is impossible. None of us can save ourselves that way. None of us can justify ourselves by keeping his commands perfectly. Therefore, Paul is saying that you and I need to die to the law in this way. If we are trying to save ourselves through the law, Paul says, this needs to die. You and I are not justified by what we do. We are justified by what Christ has done. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, the condemnation of the law can't harm us. Because of what Christ has done, we are justified. He is the one who saves us. And we need, therefore, to die to any other way of salvation, any other method, any other attempt, any other strategy. We need to die to that. And this is the unique characteristic of the Christian faith. This is the heart of it right here. All the other religions of the world require that their followers save themselves by what they do. Salvation is by works. Your salvation is dependent upon what you do or you don't do. You need to work your way to God. You need to get there on your own or drift away. Either way. Christianity, Paul says, however, is different. Only Christianity affirms that we can't save ourselves. We can't. It affirms instead that we need to be rescued. We need a rescuer. Listen to these words of Pastor Tim Keller, words that continually challenge my heart as we work our way through Galatians. He says, we love to be our own saviors, don't we? Our hearts love to manufacture glory for themselves. So we find messages of self-salvation extremely attractive, whether they are religious, that's keeping the rules, and you will earn an eternal blessing, or secular, grab hold of the things around you, so you experience blessing now. But the gospel comes and turns this all upside down. It says, you're in such a hopeless position, you need a rescue that has nothing to do with you at all. And then it says, God in Jesus provides a rescue which gives you far more than any false salvation your heart may love to chase. The gospel says you are in such a hopeless position that you need a rescue. That's what we claim as followers of Jesus, that we need to be rescued. That apart from Him, we're hopeless. That apart from Him, we are stuck. So what does this mean? What does this justification by faith mean? It means that if we're trying to save ourselves by what we do or by what we don't, we need to stop. We need to stop it. That's what Paul says it means. It means we need to stop. Paul says that's a lost cause. A dead end, a losing battle. It can't be done. The second thing that it means is that we need to put our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus and what He has done. We need to stop that and we need to start this. We need to start looking to Jesus, receiving the rescue that He offers. And if you haven't done this yet, if you haven't invited Jesus to rescue your heart, if you haven't invited Jesus to be part of your life, Paul's saying, now's the time. Right? Today is the day. This Sunday morning is the morning. Start now, we say. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Finally, justification means this. Justification by faith means that our motivation for obedience to God drastically changes. In verse 20, Paul reminds us that if we obey God, that we obey God not to earn a reward, but rather we obey out of sheer love for the one who loves us and gave his life for us. Listen to what he says. He says, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Before receiving the gospel, before coming to faith in Christ Jesus, Paul was doing his very best to be good. He was doing his very best to keep the rules. He was doing his best to follow God's command. But his motivation was selfish. Why was Paul doing all these things? Paul was following all the rules so that he could obtain a reward from God. Paul's obedience was for himself. It wasn't for God. We know how this works, don't we? We do. A child, right, who works hard to complete their chores. Why? So that they can go out and play football. Right? Why are they doing those chores? Why are they vacuuming? Why are they cleaning up the room? Because their friends are waiting outside. They want to play football. That's the motivation behind it. It's not about the chores, or it's about football. The motivation for our obedience can and often is selfish. But it doesn't have to be. The motivation for our chores doesn't have to be selfish. We can do our chores. We can vacuum. We can take out the trash, the recycling. We can clean up the family room because it's a disaster. Simply out of gratitude. Gratitude for being included and the awesome family that we're a part of. Right? We can serve the others in our household, our spouse, our siblings, because we're thankful for them. Because we just love them. We love what they do. We love them for the love that they provide us. Gratitude can also motivate us in our desire to obey. One of the questions in the Heidelberg Catechism talks about this very thing. The Heidelberg Catechism is one of the confessions of our church. It's a series of question and answers about the Christian faith. And I'm going to read question and answer, question 86, and if you would just read the answer in unison. The question is this. Since we've been delivered from our misery, from our condemnation, by grace through Jesus Christ, without any merit of our own, why then should we do good works? Again at that first, so that. It's the first reason that the Catechism gives. It's so that with our whole lives we may show that we are thankful. Thankful to God for His benefits. Paul's motivation and mindset about obedience changed, he says in these verses, after he received the gospel and the grace that Jesus offers. After Paul died to the law as a way to earn salvation, Paul says that he is now able to live for God instead. Why did the gospel enable this transformation to happen? Why did the gospel enable him to truly live for God? Because when Paul knew that he was justified, when he was accepted, when he was loved, when he was forgiven, he simply wanted to give himself to the one who had done this for him. He wanted to simply give himself to the one who gave himself for him. Because Paul had been crucified with Christ, Paul's desire was no longer to live for himself, but to live for Christ, who gave himself for Paul. The gospel doesn't change the call to obedience, does it? The gospel changes the motivation for obedience. It doesn't change the call, it changes the motivation for obedience. People of God, when I was standing in that courtroom on that day long ago, I realized with my knees knocking before me, right, nearly wet in my pants, that I was guilty. There I am as a 17-year-old kid standing before this judge. Guilty. I stood there, my mouth shut, my attention fixed on him, condemned. What did I need? Maybe a number of things, right? I needed mercy. That's what I needed. I stood there condemned. And what do you need when you're condemned? You need mercy. What could I do to get out of that situation? Not very much, right? I did a lot to get myself into that situation. And we're very good at that, aren't we? I could not save myself. I couldn't get out on my own. I was stuck. I was guilty. The only way I could get out of my predicament was if the judge acquitted me. If he justified me. If he said, "You are free to go." The good news for us this morning, Paul says, is that justification that you and I desperately need is available to us. That's what we need. And he says it's available if we look in the right place. There's a lot of places to look. There's a lot of places to say, "Come here, come here, come here." Paul says Jesus Christ offers us the justification that we desperately need. And all we need to do to receive it is to believe. It's justification by what? By faith. We need to believe. We need to believe that this was for me. All we need to do is put our faith in Him. Say, "Rescue me. I need to be rescued. Rescue me." The good news, the gospel, is that we're not justified by what we have to do, but by what He has done for us. Pray with me. Pray with me. Father in heaven, this morning we are reminded by your word to us, that we are unable to save ourselves. Father in heaven, this morning we are reminded by your word that on account of our sin, all of us are condemned and need salvation. Father in heaven, this morning we are reminded by your word that through our faith in Jesus Christ, we can find the justification that we need. Father, if any of us here this morning are looking for justification and salvation in anything besides Jesus Christ, show us clearly the futility of this search. Lord, show us clearly the futility of these attempts. Father, if any of us here this morning have set aside the grace of Christ in our lives, if we have put it at a distance, if we have put it on a shelf somewhere, urge us and motivate us to take it up again. we have put it aside, urge us to take it up again. Father, if any of us here this morning have never accepted the salvation that you freely offer to those who put their faith in you, stir within their hearts today. Call out to them. Make clear to them the grace and forgiveness that you offer through Jesus. Speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them. And now, Father, as we continue to worship you by celebrating the sacrament of communion, the Lord's Supper, Father, as we eat and as we drink and as we remember and as we believe together, renew and strengthen our faith. Our faith not in what we are able to do, but in what you have done for us. That you are our rescuer, that you are our redeemer, that you are our Savior. Remind us of that great gift, that great truth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And everyone said, amen.